Hello, and welcome to Ox Talk, your local weekly talking news, this Tuesday the 7th of November. Sunrise is at 7:10, and sunset at 4:30. Your readers this week are Ralph Weirs and Chris Orme. Memory stick copying and distribution is by Michelle Lawful.
Liam Manning says he enjoys the pressure and expectation he has built at Oxford United after a rapid start to the season. United have won 9 of their opening 14 games in Sky Bet League One, leaving them second into the table with a game in hand on leaders Portsmouth. The U's played Lincoln City looking to close the 6-point gap to Pompey. It comes though after a campaign which last time round which saw United flirt with relegation, with safety only secured late on in the season. Manning said, "I'm pretty sure if you'd asked anybody at the club at the back end of last season, would you take it? Of course people would. Sometimes you create a level of expectation which is good, and I'd much prefer that pressure, expectation and excitement amongst the fans. That's the big bit for me. Never take for granted the position we're in and the results we've had so far. Across the course of the season, it's such a long season, and what we don't want is major highs and lows straight away when we lose or draw a game. If anything, use last season as a reminder and enjoy the moment we're in."
Blenheim Palace has been awarded Best Historical Building at a National Accessibility Award. The winner of the Blue Badge Awards 2023 were announced at a ceremony on Thursday, October the 26th, at London's Great Scotland Yard Hotel. The awards were first launched at the House of Lords in 2016 to recognise, celebrate and reward accessibility across hotels, restaurants and other public venues worldwide. The Blue Badge Access Awards aims to raise the profile of accessibility in the hospitality and leisure industry and beyond, and to recognise those venues that are achieving the gold standard. Blenheim Palace picked up an accessibility award for best venue in a historical building. The award recognises Blenheim Palace's inclusiveness with routes and ramps designed around the palace, park and gardens, as well as the new adventure play area being designed with accessibility in mind. Heather Carter, Managing Director at Blenheim Palace, said, "At Blenheim Palace, we firmly believe that all visitors deserve an opportunity to explore and immerse themselves in our colourful history and the vast beauty that we have to offer, whether this is a visit to one of our exhibitions inside the palace or enjoying the beautiful park and gardens. Over the years, we've worked meticulously to enhance our accessibility features, ensuring that every visitor, regardless of their abilities, can experience all aspects of Blenheim Palace. So it's an honour for that to be recognised, and we're excited for further developments and what the future holds."
The influence of Storm Ciarán is set to be felt across Oxfordshire. An amber warning for rain and wind was in place across large sections of the country on Wednesday and Thursday. Oxfordshire was not covered in this amber warning, but the Met Office was expecting heavy rain on Wednesday morning and throughout Thursday. Parts of the UK are still recovering from the storm Babette, which battered the country earlier this month. Met Office Deputy Chief Meteorologist Chris Almond added, "This deep low pressure system will bring heavy rain to much of the UK, but the heaviest rain is expected in southern and western areas, with 20 to 25 millimetres quite widely across the region, but up to 40 to 60 millimetres potentially over higher ground. Heavy and persistent rain will fall onto already saturated ground, bringing a risk of further impacts such as flooding in areas that are already struggling to clean up from the heavy rainfall we've seen over the last week or so. Scientists have warned that rising temperatures across the world could be making rainfall more intense in these storms. Dr. Hannah Cloak, Professor of Hydrology at the University of Reading, says, "Climate change has caused seas and air to be unusually warm. Warmer seas have more dynamic energy, which can create more damaging storms, and warmer air can hold more water, leading to higher rates of rainfall."
Oxford City Council has questioned Royal Mail over severe postal delays via a letter expressing concern about the impact on residents and services. Council Chief Executive Caroline Green has outlined the grievances to a Royal Mail Operations Director in a letter which has been shared with the Oxford Mail. She noted that the ongoing poor performance of Royal Mail is adding to financial difficulties, missed hospital appointments, and lack of access to many services, having a detrimental impact on people's lives. This comes after City Councillor Linda Smith used a cabinet meeting to ask the Chief Executive to write to Royal Mail about the impact on the day-to-day running of services. The council letter states, "Over the last few months, Oxford City Council has received many reports from its citizens of delays in Royal Mail post, on some occasions with post not being received for many weeks. This is causing huge difficulty and stress for our residents, particularly more vulnerable and elderly residents who rely on postal communication to manage and pay their bills, communicate with their banks, manage their healthcare appointments and other crucial services. The ongoing poor performance of Royal Mail is adding to financial difficulties, missed hospital appointments and lack of access to many services, having a detrimental impact on people's lives." The latest distress comes just a few months after East Oxford residents found themselves missing hospital appointments and bill payments due to ongoing issues with the postal service. There had also been delays in the area in 2021 when residents labelled the service as completely broken. The Oxford Mail reported last week on a surprise visit of MP Annalise Dodds to a delivery office where she urged Royal Mail to act. Ms Smith, Cabinet Member for Housing, said, "I've heard residents from all over Oxford complain about the failure of local postal services. Many households in Lye Valley Ward have only been receiving post once every couple of weeks for a while now, and this has caused all sorts of problems for people, including missed hospital appointments and penalties for the late payment of bills." Royal Mail said staffing issues are causing Oxfordshire's delays and claimed to be recruiting actively. Ms Smith added that poor services could put democracy at risk if postal votes are delayed at election time. The council letter concluded, "Please can you provide a full explanation as to why Royal Mail is experiencing delays in processing our post and the actions you are taking to resolve this matter. We are seeking assurance that the issues that we and the residents of Oxford are experiencing are being dealt with and there are effective plans in place to improve the performance of your services."
Eddie Pepperell made the top 30 during a solid showing at the Qatar Masters Golf Tournament. The Frilford Heath member returned to the scene of his maiden DP World Tour title, the first of two victories during a breakthrough campaign in 2018. Pepperell finished this year's tournament 9 under par and tied for 27th. His first round included an eagle plus 3 birdies and the same number of bogeys. On the second day, he holed 3 more birdies and a single bogey, a trick he repeated during the third round. The final day was Pepperell's best, with 5 birdies and a couple of bogeys. This year's Qatar Masters was won by Finland's Sami Välimäki, who beat Spaniard George Campillo in a playoff for first place. Both players ended the tournament 18 under par.
Abbey Woods Academy in Beaconsfield, part of Anthem Schools Trust, has won funding to run a literary initiative designed to develop a love of reading. Abbey Woods pupils are taking part in the Spellbound Schools partnership with the Story Museum in Oxford, allowing them to enjoy a range of immersive storytelling opportunities. Pupils will now get to visit the Story Museum for free, with their transport also paid for, experiencing worlds and objects from children's literature. Earlier this month, students in years 3 to 6 attended a session aimed at enhancing their language abilities engaging in social activities, and exploring literary and cultural heritage. Some children even had the chance to write a story, sitting at the actual desk owned by C.S. Lewis, author of The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. In addition to museum visits, as a spellbound school, Abbey Woods will also receive extra support with reading for particular groups of children, additional training for teachers, and workshops delivered by visiting museum staff. Sophie Charter, head teacher at Abbey Woods Academy, said, "Collaborating closely with the Story Museum has been wonderful. Our students thoroughly enjoyed their visit, and this partnership has truly sparked their enthusiasm for reading. Books offer children a wealth of knowledge and transport them to different worlds. They help children broaden their understanding and empathy by seeing the world from various viewpoints."
Two alleged anti-Muslim attacks in the space of 10 days have led an Oxford mosque to ramp up safety precautions. A petrol can with the acronym IDF, the initials of the Israeli Defence Forces, was thrown over the wall of the central Oxford mosque in Manzil Way just over a week after a man was arrested on suspicion of a racially aggravated attack in East Oxford involving an axe. The incidents come amid tension in Palestine surrounding the Israel and Hamas conflict over Gaza.
An Oxford Academic's 467-year-old astronomy book, which was the first ever to be written in English, has fetched £10,000 at auction. The incredibly scarce first edition of The Castle of Knowledge by Welshman Robert Record was found in an old box of books by antiques experts. It was the first astronomical text to be published in English in 1556, and is believed to be the oldest surviving example of its kind in existence. The historical book, published before famous Italian astronomer Galileo was even born, went under the hammer at Hanson's Auctioneers today on Wednesday, November the 1st. It sold for £10,000 to a private international buyer. Jim Spencer, head of books at Hanson, said, "I was thrilled to see the book achieve the price it deserved. It was an amazing discovery, the most important scientific text I've ever handled. It's the first astronomical treatise to be published in English. The book was printed 467 years ago, before many of the major astronomers had even been born, including Galileo, 1564 to 1642, who's described as the father of observational astronomy, Kepler, Huygens, Newton and Herschel. The vendor consigned a large book full of antiquarian books, and this one jumped out at me with its allegorical woodcut title page and charming illustrations. It felt special. A little research quickly revealed its significance and scarcity. The author, Robert Record, invented the equal sign, so the equation I proffer for this auction is important book equals big price. I could only find one other copy sold at auction. It fetched $90,000, or £74,200, at Bonhams in 2007. The same book previously sold at Sotheby's in 1971. Admittedly, our copy was not so well preserved, but it was just incredibly rare. Experts say the book is important for three reasons, including being the oldest surviving original English astronomy book, rather than a translation. It is one of the first English astronomy books to mention Polish astronomer Copernicus de Revolutionibus Orbium Coelestium on the revolutions of the celestial spheres and the heliocentric system. In addition, Record not only refers to ancient Greek philosopher Plato, but also to fellow Greek philosopher Proclus, so had access to Neoplatonic source material. Record was born around 1512 in Tenby, Pembrokeshire, and studied at the University of Oxford in about 1525. After choosing medicine as a profession, his studies continued at the University of Cambridge in 1545. He later returned to Oxford and taught mathematics. He also worked in London as physician to King Edward VI and Queen Mary, to whom some of his books are dedicated. He was controller of the Royal Mint, but after being sued for defamation by a political enemy, he was arrested for debt and died in the King's Bench Prison, Southwark, in 1558.
A front of an East Oxford watering hole has a new look inspired by French classic cinema. The new sign outside the Star Pub is based on the famous scene in the 1902 film A Trip to the Moon, when an angry-faced moon is struck in the eye with a rocket. But landlords Gus and Anna Rogers have put their own spin on the classic. Their new sign outside the pub in Rectory Road shows a star with a bottle of beer in the eye instead. Mr. Rogers said, "The pub frontage was looking a little bit worse for wear, so we decided to give it a makeover. As much as we loved the old sign and the memories it provoked, we wanted to replace it with something big and striking, similar to the Headington Shark and the old UPP facade." The couple, who reopened the pub in 2020, called upon friend Jim Kempton, a principal sculptor at Madame Tussauds, for the design. Mr. Kempton 3D scanned both of their faces, which are used as references for the faces on either side of the sign. Mr. Rogers said, "The design was turned into a reality by Jay and Narika from JSM Models in Mildenhall near Hungerford. We were thrilled with how it's turned out."
Oxford City have a new majority shareholder in the form of the club's director of football, Justin Merritt. Paul Lyon has relinquished most of his shares of the club, leaving Merritt as the new Hoops majority shareholder. In a statement, the club confirmed that Lyon had stepped down as majority shareholder and director at City, relinquishing most of his shares and retaining a small shareholding. Lyon, a lifelong Hoops supporter, has stepped down due to time and work commitments, but will remain club secretary. It leaves Merritt as the majority shareholder. Lyon told the club website, "I'm proud of my service as board director and shareholder, and of the great progress we have made to develop this wonderful football club. We have overcome significant challenges over the years, and the club is now at the highest level in the football pyramid in its history. It is the right time for me to take a step back and give my businesses the focus and attention they need, and I'm delighted to be able to stay on and continue to serve the club as secretary." Lyon first became officially involved with City in 2015, supporting the integration of the Oxfordshire Youth Football League. He became a director in 2017, with the Hoops enjoying great progression since then. The club statement read, "During his directorship, the club has successfully restructured, created a sustainable operating model, and progressed on the pitch. Highlights have included FA Cup runs and last season's promotion to the National League." Merritt told the Hoops website, "On behalf of everyone at Oxford City Football Club, I'd like to place on record our thanks and gratitude to Paul for his service, commitment and support over the years. It is an exciting time at the club, and this now creates an opportunity for us to attract new investment to help us stabilise and progress in the National League and fulfil our strategic growth ambitions." City invited supporters to an open training session at the club between 12:30pm and 1:30pm on Saturday, November the 4th, with it being followed by a fans' forum in the 1882 bar to discuss the club's strategy going forward. The Hoops, under the guidance of head coach Ross Jenkins, earned promotion to Vanarama National League last season. Despite being one of the few part-time sides in the division, City have more than held their own in the majority of their league games, however having slipped to second bottom in the table after a run of three consecutive defeats. Scalps this season, though, have included the back-to-back victories against Boreham Wood and Hartlepool United, which the Hoops won 4-0 and 5-2, plus 3-0 win at home to AFC Fylde last month.
An Oxfordshire secondary school is to be knocked down and completely rebuilt as part of a multi-billion pound government scheme. Gosford Hill in Kidlington is one of around 400 schools across the country that will be redeveloped after being allocated funding from the Department for Education's School Rebuilding Programme, or SRB. The project has been described as a transformative moment for Kidlington by Gosford Hill headteacher Nigel Sellers. Mr. Sellers added, "This is a huge moment for the school and the fantastic community we are privileged to serve. Every community deserves a great school at its heart, and this rebuilding project means Gosford Hill can be a great school at the heart of Kidlington for years to come. These are pivotal times in the school's history. The quality of the education we deliver was recognised by Ofsted last year, and the creation of these fantastic new facilities means we will have a wonderful setting in which to deliver that education to children and young people in the area. The new school will mostly be built next to the existing buildings. These will be knocked down when the new school is ready. A couple of small buildings will be lost during construction, but most of the space lost is not being used by students at the moment. Under the SRB, schools and sixth form colleges across England are handed government refunding for major building and refurbishment projects. The other schools in Oxfordshire have been allocated funding under the programme are Didcot Girls' School and Oxford Spies Academy in Glanville Road, East Oxford. The firm leading the regeneration of Gosford Hill is construction company Baumer & Kirkland. Daniel Plunkett, design manager at Baumer & Kirkland, said, "Our proposal for Gosford Hill will provide a welcoming, attractive and safe environment to teach and learn. The plans represent a major investment from the DfE to be shared with the local community, meet the latest standards of sustainable building regulations, and will be largely constructed off-site to help minimise disruption to neighbours. As part of a consultation process, Baumer & Kirkland is staging a public exhibition on Tuesday, November the 14th, from 5:30pm to 8:30pm at the school in Oxford Road. The proposals can also be viewed at gosfordhillplans.co.uk, where the public can register for updates and leave feedback. The deadline for feedback to be received is Wednesday, November the 22nd. A planning application is set to follow the consultation process. Timescales and costs for the project have not been revealed. Gosford Hill is part of River Learning Trust, a multi-academy trust made up of 28 schools in Oxfordshire and Swindon."
Missing posters pleading for the safe return of Israeli citizens have begun appearing on the railings enclosing the Radcliffe Camera. Listing names, pictures and ages of the missing, each poster states that the individuals were abducted from their homes by Hamas on October the 7th this year, and appeals for their safe return as their current whereabouts remain unknown. Posters also ask that readers share their contents and provide a QR code which smartphone users can scan in a bid to help spread awareness further. The railings have also been adorned with pink balloons. This appeal comes after Palestinian officials confirmed today that Israeli airstrikes have hit apartment buildings in a Gaza refugee camp for the second day in a row. Staff at the Radcliffe Camera did not wish to comment.
Major plans for 540 new homes to the north of Oxford will be decided soon. Merton College want to build the houses on an area of farmland the size of 82 football pitches to the west and north of Yarnton Village. It is also proposed to build a community work hub, two playing pitches and up to 9,000 square metres of elderly and extra care residential floor space. Cherwell District Council's Planning Committee will decide on the application. Council officers have recommended that the plans are refused until they can resolve outstanding issues. Villagers have raised concerns that the homes would destroy the character of Yarnton and impact transport infrastructure into Oxford. Both Yarnton and Begbroke Parish Councils have formally objected to the plans. Merton College, one of the constituent colleges of Oxford University, said, "Our proposals align with Chirwell's local plan allocation and will deliver much needed new homes as part of the countrywide strategy to accommodate Oxford's unmet housing need." The application site is allocated for development in the Chirwell local plan. It is part of the land surrounding Kidlington, Yarnton and Begbrook, which the council controversially allocated for 4,400 new homes in 2020 to help meet Oxford's housing needs. Earlier this month, almost 500 new homes in Kidlington were approved by the council, despite fierce opposition.
Oxfordshire's Shadow Highways Chief has proposed a motion to remove the low traffic neighbourhoods, LTNs, in East Oxford and Cowley. Liam Walker's motion to rip out the controversial traffic calming measures will be discussed at Oxfordshire County Council's full council meeting on Tuesday, November the 7th. Speaking to the Oxford Mail, the Conservative councillor said this was the last opportunity for those elected across Oxfordshire to make their positions clear on the LTNs. Councillor Andrew Gant, who is responsible for transport, said Mr. Walker offers no alternative vision for transport in Oxfordshire. LTNs, which use bollards or ANPR cameras to stop motorists using certain roads, were approved in Cowley in 2021 and in East Oxford earlier this month. Those who support them claim they reduce traffic and air pollution, but their introduction has been controversial, as business owners claim they reduce footfall and bus companies said they make journey time slower. A consultation on the East Oxford LTNs earlier this year had an overwhelmingly negative response. Mr. Walker said, "We are putting this forward because we, as a Conservative group, are fed up with the coalition essentially ignoring people that have expressed their opinions on LTNs. They're incredibly divisive and there's arguments for both sides. Particularly in East Oxford, data shows they are not working. The consultation showed a lack of support and the bus companies don't want them. This is the last opportunity for councillors across Oxfordshire to make their positions clear." The East Oxford LTNs were voted through by a Liberal Democrat and Green cabinet. Mr. Walker said Labour's votes on the LTNs would be crucial after the party quit the Fair Deal Alliance, which ran the council last month. "To get the motion through, Labour will need to support it," he said. "I know there are Labour councillors who have privately spoken about LTNs, but said something else in public. This is an opportunity to come off the fence." Labour leader Liz Brighouse said the party would consider the motion at a future group meeting. Mr. Gant, a Lib Dem councillor, said the original bid for LTNs had come while the Tories controlled the council. He said, "Councillor Walker is actually asking council to spend money undoing a decision which he took himself. He put the LTNs in, now he wants to take them out again. He would remove the huge benefits they have brought to residents in those areas. He either doesn't understand or ignores the synergies with other policies. Does he want to open other residential areas to through traffic, including elsewhere in Oxford and in his own division? Above all, he offers no alternative vision for transport in Oxfordshire. This is a party out of ideas and out of time."
The tech entrepreneur who bought Oxford's closed Eagle and Child pub lives in California with his family, it can be revealed. The pub in St Giles is changing hands after current owner St John's College struck a deal with the Ellison Institute of Technology, or EIT. Earlier last month, the institute, established 8 years ago in Los Angeles by billionaire Larry Ellison, announced plans for a new laboratory campus at Oxford Science Park. Now, the tech company has bought the pub from owners St John's College and says renowned architect Norman Foster will renovate it, adding a new restaurant. The pub is famous for its links with J.R.R. Tolkien. His literary group, including C.S. Lewis, was called the Inklings, and they used to meet there. Dr. David Agus is the chief executive and founder of the Ellison Institute. He said last week, "The Eagle and Child pub is a truly historic venue that has hosted some of the greatest minds Oxford has had to offer for over 300 years. We are humbled and proud to be able to safeguard this treasured pub's future and continue its legacy as a place for brilliant people to come together, including for our Ellison scholars." Dr. Agus is one of the world's leading doctors and pioneering biomedical researchers. He is the founding director and chief executive of the Ellison Institute of Technology and a professor of medicine and engineering at the University of Southern California. A medical oncologist, Dr. Agus leads a multidisciplinary team of researchers dedicated to the development and use of technologies to guide doctors in making healthcare decisions tailored to individual needs. According to his website, he is an international leader in global health and approaches for personalised healthcare. Dr. Agus serves in leadership roles at the World Economic Forum and is co-chairman of the Global Health Security Consortium. Is also a CBS News contributor. His three books, The End of Illness, A Short Guide to a Long Life, and The Lucky Years, How to Thrive in the Brave New World of Health, are all New York Times and international bestsellers, with a new book, The Book of Animal Secrets, Nature's Lessons for a Long and Happy Life, set for release in December 2023. He is a 2017 recipient of the Ellis Island Medal of Honor. Dr. Agus lives in California with his wife, two children, and their dog, Georgie. The Eagle and Child has been closed since 2020 when the pandemic hit. Real Ale enthusiasts Camra welcomed the sale of the pub. Its Oxford spokesman, Dave Richardson, said he hoped that the most historic parts of the pub will be retained when it's renovated. No date has yet been announced for the reopening.
Multiple social care services in the county are falling below expectations and have received negative ratings. The Care Quality Commission, CQC, assessed three Oxfordshire providers in October, all of which were said to be either inadequate or requiring improvement. Richmond Village, Letcombe Regis DCA in Wantage, a community-based service, was given a requires improvement rating on October the 3rd. Alma Barn Lodge in Didcot received the same rating on October the 19th. Previous inspections at the homes had taken place on May the 31st and September the 7th. Another Oxfordshire care provider, PLL Care Services in Whitney, was deemed inadequate after it was reviewed on October the 17th, having last been inspected on August the 16th. Services scored as inadequate will generally be put under special measures by the CQC and undergo further inspections. Requires improvement is less serious, but still means the service is not meeting expectations.
Concern villagers have slammed plans for 160 new homes as a joke. Chalgrove residents have warned the rural character of the South Oxfordshire village will be destroyed if the application by Gladman Developments is approved. The home builders want to turn an area of land roughly the size of six football pitches to the south of the village into a housing development. It's the second bite of the cherry for Gladman after a similar application was rejected by South Oxfordshire District Council in October last year. The company claims the development would fit in with the village's form and character, but several villagers have objected the plans as part of a public consultation. Richard Watson said, "Any further building in this area is unacceptable. The amount of habitat loss for wildlife is already out of control, and destroying more space and building right next to the waterways is just going to cause far more harm. On top of this, Chalgrove does not have the infrastructure to support all of the new houses already built, let alone another 160. Chris Leftley added, "This is clearly a joke. Childgrove is already grappling with issues of overcrowding, daily traffic congestion, two new housing developments and a scarcity of serene spaces. As for infrastructure and amenities, the current waiting time of 6 weeks to see a doctor is unacceptable. The school is full, the roads are already inadequate and the drainage is poor. It doesn't take a genius to see that adding more residences to the area without addressing these existing challenges is stupid. In addition, the wildlife will be disrupted with more habitat loss and the whole rural character of the village will be destroyed. Laura Hornby, who moved to Childgrove 15 months ago, said the proposed development would ruin the landscape. She said, "You will turn that last corner on the B480 and all you will see is a sea of new houses. At least Childgrove Meadow and Meadow Brook Estates are both hidden from the eye until you are literally upon them. If this permission is given, I don't see where it ends. There will be another 160 houses built next to it and so on and so on. Never mind the wildlife that will be disrupted. We have so many birds nesting in the trees and so many bats. Their entire habitat will be ruined if another housing estate is built on their home." Gladman has been approached for comment. The target decision date for the application is January the 2nd.
A bus service created to help passengers cope with the closure of the Botley Road in Oxford is being cut back due to roadworks. In April, Network Rail closed the road at the rail bridge as part of a £161 million upgrade of Oxford Rail Station, and the closure is now expected to remain in place until October 2024. The Botley Flyer bus route starts at West Oxford Community Centre, then goes to Botley, then around to Woodstock Road, stopping in Summertown, Jericho, and then the Westgate Centre. Previously, the flyer was running once an hour between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m, but this frequency has now been reduced due to National Highways work at the Botley interchange, which is due to continue until March. A Network Rail spokeswoman said, "Owing to National Highways work at Botley interchange, the timetable for the Botley flyer has been revised. There will now be one journey into the city centre starting at 10 a.m. and one journey back at 12:45 p.m. This is a reduction from the previous service of one bus an hour between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. We are keeping the service under review to ascertain how this can be improved in the future and welcome any feedback." As well as National Highways work at the Botley interchange, gas company SGN is carrying out work near the interchange on the southbound carriageway, starting from Friday night at 8 p.m. Diversions will be in place. Julian LeVay, a spokesman for West Oxford Access, which is campaigning on behalf of residents and businesses during the Botley Road closure, said the cost of the Network Rail project may have increased, as it is now taking longer than first planned to complete it. He added, "There could be pressure from the Department for Transport to cut back on costs, and cutting back on the Botley Flyer service could be part of that."
Campaigners fear plans for a new gas plant would bring a risk of explosion similar to the one that rocked Oxfordshire earlier last month. Acorn Bioenergy's bid to build one of the UK's largest anaerobic digester gas factories in High Cogs near Whitney will be decided by the planning authority next week. But a campaign group claims the proposed gas plant would carry the same risks that led to an explosion at Severn Trent Green Power's power plant in Cassington on October the 2nd. David Hindley of the Whitney Anaerobic Digester Objection Group said, "We are amazed and concerned that regardless of the explosion caused by lightning on October the 2nd at a similar location in Cassington, Acorn Bioenergy has continued with its application." While Acorn Bioenergy claims that it strives to meet the highest health and safety standards, it has continued with its application, explaining that it will prepare for lightning protection eventually. "We believe that this is not the responsible conduct that we would expect." Acorn Bioenergy was contacted for comment, but did not respond. The company's proposed gas plant will be 1.5 times the area of the Wembley Stadium roof, and the fermenter tanks will be the height of four double-decker buses on top of each other, the campaign group has claimed. West Oxfordshire District Council will decide on the plans next Monday. Council officers have recommended that councillors refuse the plans. In a report published on Friday, the officers said the proposed plant would not be of a proportionate and appropriate scale and pattern of development and or character of the area. The report also warned of the increased traffic using the A40, with some 25,000 HGVs, tractors, trailers anticipated to come and go from the gas facility each year. Mr. Hindley, who lives within 250 metres of the proposed site, said, "This proposal attempts to ride roughshod over our neighbourhood plan and national and county policies. It is now for the Lowlands Area Planning Subcommittee to decide its future. The enormous level of local concern by residents over the last 9 months has shown what can be achieved by a small community that is united against the landowner and developer. Any other attempt to repeat this exercise will be met with robust responses." Acorn Bioenergy says it is committed to providing renewable, carbon-negative energy for the UK by unlocking the full potential of biomethane production. The company added that it prioritises sites with good access to farms that can provide high-quality agricultural waste, good access to the strategic road network, and ones that will have a minimal visual impact on neighbours.
Oxford Bus Company has launched its annual Brand the Bus competition for a local charity or good cause to have its branding emblazoned on a new electric double-decker. The branded bus will be electric for the first time as the company accelerates its adoption of net zero vehicles. It is the sixth year running the company has run the competition. The winner will receive an advertising package worth £40,000, which includes the branded bus, digital screen advertising on board buses, and on-air advertising with Greatest Hits Radio, previously Jack FM, for 1 year. To celebrate the community partnership between Oxford Bus Company and Greatest Hits Radio, a bus rear will be branded to promote the competition. To enter, good causes must submit an entry form online by January the 8th, providing background information and what it would mean to win the competition. The public vote will run until February the 2nd, where the top 10 entries will be shortlisted and go to a judging panel, who will then decide on a winner. Luke Marion, Managing Director at Oxford Bus Company, said, "The Brand the Bus competition has become an annual tradition in Oxfordshire and is an excellent way to raise awareness of local charities and good causes. It helps us to give back to the communities we operate in and support excellent good causes. The value previous winners have received has been significant, so I'd encourage good causes to get involved. We look forward to receiving this year's entries and are looking forward to seeing our first ever branded electric bus on the road next year." Andy Shire, Content Director of the Greatest Hits Radio Oxfordshire, said, "We're delighted Greatest Hits Radio is on board with the Brand the Bus competition. As well as playing the biggest songs of the 70s, 80s and 90s with our legendary presenters, including Oxfordshire's own Ken Bruce, Greatest Hits Radio is committed to the community that it serves, and this competition is the perfect opportunity for us to give back. We can't wait to unveil the winner alongside the Oxford Bus Company." Last year, Headington-based bereavement charity Seesaw scooped first prize, with Oxford City Angels and Sobel House Hospice the runners-up. Other charities that have had buses branded are Girl Guiding Oxfordshire, Home Start Oxford, Blue Sky Thinking and Restore. Prizes will be awarded to entries who have, in the panel's opinion, fulfilled the brief to the highest standard. The winning organisation will be invited to work with Oxford Bus Company on the design with the branded bus, expected to launch in the spring. Two runners-up will receive advertising worth £2,000 and £1,000 respectively. For more details on the competition and to enter, please visit the website https://www.oxfordbus.co.uk/brand-the-bus.
Actor Matthew Perry, who died recently at his Los Angeles home, was best known for playing the sarcastic Chandler Bing in Friends. But away from the hit sitcom, one of the 54-year-old's most memorable TV appearances was in 2013, when he debated addiction on the BBC's Newsnight with Oxford's Peter Hitchens. The Daily Mail columnist has been criticised in the wake of Mr. Perry's death after he reposted his article from 2017 titled The Fantasy of Addiction. He doubled down on the argument he made 10 years ago that addiction should not be designated as a disease. Mr. Hitchens was accused of poor timing by social media users. In response, he said the timing issue was with those who used Mr. Perry's death as an opportunity to attack me. The video of the Newsnight spat has been circulating on X, previously known as Twitter. The pair had been invited to discuss specialist drug courts in which former addicts would sit as magistrates alongside Baroness Meacher, an advocate for drug policy reform. Mr. Perry, a fierce advocate for addiction recovery, said, "I know that they work. People who go through drug court have a 55% less chance of ever seeing handcuffs again." But Mr. Hitchens, a passionate anti-drugs campaigner, disputed this. The controversial author questioned the reality of drug dependency and described what he saw as the fantasy of addiction. Mr. Perry, who for years spoke of his own struggles with drug and alcohol abuse, advised Mr. Hitchens to read something other than your own book. In his memoir, Friends, Lovers and the Big Terrible Thing, Mr. Perry recalled the debate and described a complete tool called Mr. Peter Hitchens. "I can't imagine what it's like to have a sibling whom everyone adores when you're the idiot brother everyone loathes. But I think Peter could well be able to weigh in on what that feels like," he wrote. In the 2017 article, which he reposted on Sunday morning, Mr. Hitchens said he never meant to start an argument about addiction, but stood by his view. He said, "Chandler Bing called me various names and was even more sarcastic than before. He's extremely good at sarcasm, even if he understands very little about the drug problem."
Oxford City Council has joined forces with Match My Project to launch a matchmaking platform for businesses and charitable organisations looking to partner up and do good in the city. Match My Project Oxford is an easy-to-use online social value platform that helps community projects, businesses and suppliers connect and find ways to support each other. Businesses and organisations can sign up for free and start looking for matches now. On Match My Project Oxford, community projects will be able to post resource requests for anything they need. For example, design advice for the redevelopment of a building, a set of laptops, funding, or expert advice to draw up a business plan. And businesses can offer to fulfil them, then claim as delivered social value on council contracts. Alternatively, businesses can post offers of resources, skills and training that they have available, which community organisations, schools or colleges can then request. The council has said it will act as mediator and matcher by facilitating the website and promoting it to suppliers, charitable organisations and business networks in the city. Match My Project was developed in 2021 and is currently being used by 9 contracting authorities across England. To date, the authorities, councils and housing associations have seen 262 projects supported, with over 700 businesses and community organisations registered on the platform. Susan Brown, leader of Oxford City Council and Cabinet Member for Inclusive Economy and Partnership, said, "Oxford City Council is committed to making the city's economy fairer for everyone, but we can't do that alone. Match My Project Oxford is a great way for local businesses to help us do this. By partnering with local community and charitable organisations, they can directly support local residents and reinvest money back into the city's economy. I am looking forward to seeing the many great matches and projects that come out of it. Suppliers to the council can demonstrate they are doing good and supporting the local economy by using locally sourced materials, paying the Oxford Living Wage, supporting local charities or organisations, or offering apprenticeships or other training opportunities. By demonstrating how they contribute positively to the city, suppliers and potential suppliers may score more highly in the procurement process. Dan Ebanks, founder of Match My Project, said, "We're delighted to be working with Oxford City Council, its local community partners and businesses. There's a long history of innovation in Oxford. It's therefore no surprise to see the council extend that approach and mindset to the way they do social value. Match My Project Oxford is not limited to City Council suppliers. Any Oxford business looking to do good can sign up to the platform and match with local projects. If you are interested in how this platform could help your business or organisation, then join the online launch event hosted by the Council and Match My Project at 2 p.m. on November the 7th. Contact https://www.linkedin.com/events/711-996-761-082-525-6960/.
Oxford City Stars are to introduce mandatory neck guards following the tragic death of Adam Johnson. The Nottingham Panthers player died following a freak accident during a game at Sheffield Steelers last month. The 29-year-old American reportedly suffered a slashed neck during the second period of the game. Stars postponed their NIHL Division 1 South fixture at home to MK Thunder on Sunday after Johnson's death was announced. On the introduction of mandatory neck guards for players and coaching staff, Stars said in a statement, "In the wake of the tragic incident involving Adam Johnson, who sadly lost his life in a freak in-game accident, Oxford City Stars is advancing its commitment to enhance player safety. The club is proud to announce the introduction of mandatory neck guards for all players and coaching staff. The club has ordered and is now awaiting delivery of neck guards for all players and coaches. Once received, these guards will be utilised during all on-ice activities going forward. With the safety and well-being of our athletes at the forefront of this initiative, Oxford City Stars is taking the responsibility of providing specially designed neck guards for every member of the team. These guards will be a non-negotiable component of their attire during all practices and games, providing an extra layer of protection. In a poignant tribute to Adam Johnson's memory, this commitment signifies not only a significant moment for the Oxford City Stars, but also a cornerstone in advocating for enhanced safety standards across the sport. We encourage other clubs to also offer these neck guards to their players. At our level of play, we strongly believe that these guards should be worn by all players." Shane Moore, head of hockey operations at the Stars, added, "This decision reinforces our dedication to player safety. We want to ensure that every possible measure is taken to protect our athletes while they are doing what they love. Safety must be a fundamental aspect of our actions, and we are grateful to all our players and coaching staff for their support in moving this initiative forward. We hope to serve as positive role models for both current and future players, showcasing that safety should always be the top priority. A life has tragically been taken too soon in a freak accident, and if wearing neck guards can prevent another devastating loss, then we want to ensure we have done everything within our power to protect our players."
A popular children's water park could be replaced with a downscaled version featuring a bike and scooter track under new suggestions. The splash feature in Hinksey Park remained closed over the summer as the surface and fountains were deemed unsafe for children. Oxford City Council is now looking to replace the water park. The council said on its website, "The splash feature at Hinksey Park has come to the end of its life and has had to close. The costs to build a new one are likely to be significant and will be challenging in the current financial climate. However, we are looking at how we might be able to try to do this, which includes exploring external funding opportunities and different delivery options." People have been asked for their view on what should replace the splash park in an online survey which will run until November the 10th. The council has touted the idea of a multi-use play space which would provide year-round play opportunity. The concept would combine a slightly smaller splash feature with a bike and scooter track for younger children. The council said, "We would like to understand whether this is one option that you might be interested in and any comments you may have. We would also like to understand your feedback and comments on what other play-based options might be of interest should we need to adapt our concepts to the level of funding we achieve." To access the survey, visit https://bit.ly/40kay(OE).
I'm not surprised that when Annalise Dodds visited the East Oxford Sorting Office, there was a massive backlog of mail. In the last 3 months, I've complained to Royal Mail about unacceptable mail deliveries. I complained that I'd not received mail in early September. I was missing 16 parcels and letters. I was assured there was no problem that we were getting our deliveries. I got all of these delivered on September the 16th. The earliest date, August the 24th, so held up nearly a month. My wife missed a hospital appointment. The letter was posted on October the 8th, delivered October the 27th. The service is completely appalling. You complain and get lied to, saying they're not holding mail. They have a universal delivery contract, which is being ignored. Another Tory privatisation, another disgusting service.
That was the last news item for this week. If you have any comments about this week's Oxtalk edition, either email us at mail@oxtalk.org.uk or telephone Margaret on 07496 062 280. Please leave your name and telephone number so that we can return your call. There are several different ways to listen to Oxtalk. As usual, we'll be sending out USB memory sticks in their yellow wallets. You can listen to the current week and the previous month's editions by going to our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either stream the news straight away or download it should you wish to listen later on using an alternative device. You can also use Alexa, and here is Guy Lawful explaining how to set it up.
Notice to listeners of Oxtalk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Oxtalk using Alexa. To listen to Oxtalk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, "Alexa, enable Talking Newspaper." Then, to listen to Oxtalk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open Talking Newspaper.
Welcome to your Talking Newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper, or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to OxTalk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact OxTalk and we will try to help.